Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. New year. Happy New year.
Fresh start. Yeah. It's all good. I got an email from your buddies at the Taste of Dunwoody.
I know. Coming up in February.
I know. You're no longer active in that, but you were the founder of that?
Yes.
What is it? Eight years?
And I was a founder. This is the first year I'm not doing the chairing of it, so it'll be interesting.
So
I'm letting go.
But it's the same thing, though, right? Lots of great restaurants.
Yeah, great restaurants, same great menu, a new band this
year. New band.
Mm-hmm. And a younger group organizing it. For those of you that are listening that have come in the past, and some people said, you know what, it's kind of an old folks event.
Right.
Yeah, well, the people chairing it this year are younger.
But is it still the good restaurants? That's the key. The magic is the restaurants.
Yeah,
you know?
Great restaurants.
Is it going to be like Five Guys now? Or is it going to be, you know, like McKendrick's?
No, same great restaurants.
All right. You promise?
I promise, yes. I have had a hand in some of the selection of restaurants. So, yeah, same great restaurants, same great event. And we should have them on.
Yes, you should. Your buddies.
Yeah. Come on in.
Do our part.
That's right. Promote the event. We've got some businesses to promote today and an event to promote today. But Lee, what's going on in the new year? How's your book coming along?
The book? What book?
Your book.
Oh, my
Sitting
book
right
that I wrote.
There.
It's coming along great. We have a book signing at the beginning of February in Woodstock, and then we're going to Knoxville to speak, and then we're going to Baltimore to speak. So we're
Wow.
getting out there.
That's great. Maybe we need to feature you on a segment.
Yeah.
People don't know.
I'm the guy behind the guy.
People don't know how talented you are. You're the guy behind the guy.
Keep it on the down low.
All right. So great news.
What?
My chickens are finally laying again.
Again? The eggs are back.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been so long.
It has been 3 months, and they were on hiatus, and now...
Even if you put heaters in there and fake sun?
Lee, you have no idea. My neighbor, one of my neighbors called and asked if we put in a sauna, because I have these red heat lights down there, and I mean, I've tried everything, and now I'm not sure what worked, but everybody is laying.
All of them?
Well,
maybe
every
it's
day.
A peer pressure thing.
Must be. But you know what? I got a big green egg for Christmas. Maybe it's
one of
like,
your eggs have been eating too much green?
So I got a big green egg. By the way, they're coming on the show.
The green egg people?
The big green egg people.
Are they local?
Yeah, Lawrenceville.
Really?
Yes.
I never knew that. They're like a cult.
It is a cult. And I'm now a member.
And you like it?
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't it a pain to like get everything?
Lee, don't get
it's
me started.
It's a process, right? Like it's not something like you go, hey, let's throw something on there. Say it takes like a week to prepare.
No. It's a show in and of itself. So don't get me started because
right.
I'm getting
them
a little
on.
Excited.
And but get some meat people on. We'll have a whole theme
green
egg thing.
They have partnered with the New York Butcher, and they're doing some promotions with them. So that's a great idea. Maybe they can pair up for that show. So stay tuned. That's coming up in February as well. Looking forward to that. But I think that my chickens, you know, saw the big green egg and thought, I better start performing.
Start performing or else I'm
going to end up, on the egg. Good news. So I know a lot of our listeners are probably making New Year's resolutions. Everybody does. And probably the most popular New Year's resolution is to get in shape. So our first guest this morning is going to talk about an event that our listeners actually have time to get in shape for. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. Danielle, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So U.S. Road Sports is doing a marathon. Tell us all about it.
Yes, U.S. Road Sports, we produce the Publix Georgia Marathon and Half Marathon, which will take place on March 20th this year. And we are formerly the ING Georgia Marathon and Half Marathon for the first 4 years of the race. It was sponsored by ING. And we're very excited for the fifth anniversary to have Publix as our new title sponsor.
Terrific. So Publix is located where?
Publix is located, there's stores all through Metro Atlanta, all through Georgia, Florida, the Southeast is where you can find Publix supermarkets.
Their headquarters must be
in Florida.
In Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love Publix.
We do, too.
That is my favorite supermarket.
Yeah.
So how can folks find out about the event?
Well, you can find a lot of information on our website, which is georgiamarathon.com, or you can call our office, which is 404-832-0786. And there's a lot of information online, including how to register. You can also download a course map and find all sorts of information about the course. And it starts and finishes at Centennial Olympic Park. So it's a great location to host a race, and we feature all through all the different Atlanta neighborhoods and parks. So it's a beautiful course. It really displays Atlanta really well.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I'd love to go online.
Is that
and look
the same course from the past?
Yeah, it's the same course. So same course as last year. We're just looking forward to have lots of new features this year. The marathon and half marathon participants will have different colored shirts. So we're really excited about that. Publix is going to do a drawstring goodie bag this year for the participants when they go to Expo to pick up their packets. They'll have a really cool Publix drawstring goodie bag. So that's courtesy of Publix. And we're also doing a new VIP experience for runners. So you can opt to have a VIP race experience race day and get lots of special treatment, including massage and get your results right there. So really exciting. That's limited to 200 runners. So you can find more information about that online as well. And
what about training? You do any help in the training?
Yeah. In fact, we have some training runs that we do in conjunction with a couple of our running stores and our pace team. That's Fidipides and West Stride. And so that information, the dates are online for our training runs. Our next one coming up is January 22nd, and that will be at West Stride. And Publix provides all of the food, and then the pace team is there to help runners for the different different paces that they plan to run for the race.
Do you guys have like a poop out bus? For the people.
We call it a support vehicle. So yes, we do have a support vehicle for those runners, and we're walker friendly. We have a 15-minute pace, and we have a back of the pack team that helps, that maintains that pace and helps runners at the end keep them motivated and keep them on pace. But if you do poop out, as you'd say, we do have some support vehicles and some other options for runners.
That's a great idea. So the back of the pack people. Mm-hmm. So our listeners that have never done a half marathon or a marathon before, this might be a great way to get your feet wet.
Yeah, I would encourage them to come out to the training run on January 22nd. And there's a lot of seasoned runners in our pace team. Our pace team members have been doing this every year. It's the same group of runners. So they we have various pace times for if you're planning to run the half marathon or the marathon. And so I encourage people that maybe would like to get in shape for the new year is to come out to the training run and talk to the runners and set up a good training program for them. So
do you have like online help if I want to?
Yeah,
like kinda...
actually Active, who we use for our registration, you can actually purchase a training program now. If you go to active.com and then just search Publix Georgia Marathon training program, and you can purchase that program, and it'll provide you with the tools and a program to based on if you're walking, running, or what kind of pace you want to finish.
How long does a person, like say you're sedentary, like it's New Year's, and you're like, I'm going to shoot for this. Is it possible to prepare like for a half marathon in that period of time?
For a half marathon probably is the best bet, but we also, for the weekend, we also do a 5K and a kids fun run the day before at Grant Park. So if you're someone who, for your New Year's, you have come, you're straight from the couch, and so maybe the 5K might be a good option as well.
That's a good idea. But if for instance, okay, so I'm not a complete
couch potato. Have you ever run a half marathon?
I've done a triathlon. In
a whole thing? 26 miles? A real triathlon or one of those fake ones where it's like a 5K, you know, swim in the pool once?
No, not swim in the pool, but in Chicago. But gosh, that was years ago. That was like 20.
How many kids ago?
22 kids and 20 years ago. But it is one of those things that I think about often. You know, it's on my bucket list. It wasn't necessarily on my New Year's resolution list, but maybe it should be.
Are you active now? Like, do you think
I'm active? Yeah, but
maybe
I don't
run
every day. And
come to the half marathon with us.
Yeah,
on March 20th. Yeah. That'd be great.
This thing put me over the edge.
Maybe they'll let me ride, drive the poop out bus.
Holy, you would be a great person to drive the poop out bus.
You'd be very entertaining for everyone.
That'd be good.
It's a great idea. Like the Aflac Iron Girl comes up in the summer.
Don't they make you participate in that?
In the past I've always volunteered, but this year I am going to participate in Chicago, so I'm looking forward to that. But this would be a nice little stepping stone.
March 20th.
March, I don't know. I think I
can
do it.
There's time. You know, if anyone is concerned about that, for a half marathon is 13.1 miles and the marathon is 26.2. So the 5K is a good option, which is just over 3 miles.
Aim high.
That I can do.
High.
I think the half marathon.
I think you go for the whole thing.
Do I get one of those little bumper stickers for my car?
Because kind of like those. 13.1?
Yes. We do have some 13.1 stickers. So yeah, okay. Definitely. It's a good race, definitely.
I'm on the fence.
She's a good salesperson.
She is. Come on. One more little plug for our listeners and for me. Any listeners out there that want to take it on, I think I'd do the half.
Yeah. I mean, we start and finish at Centennial Olympic Park. And so especially if you're from here or you're new to Atlanta, we go through Virginia Highlands, we go through Piedmont Park, we go through lots of beautiful areas in Atlanta. So it displays the city really well. And when you finish, you get a great great medal. So we've got brand new medal for this year, obviously being the 5th anniversary and having Publix on board. So all finishers get a medal. And as I said, we get the different color shirts for the marathon and half marathon participants. And there's a lot of food. And so new this year with the 5th anniversary, which I can tell you we're doing a special food item for participants as an anniversary. And I'm not going to announce what it is. But all runners, in addition, you get the food, you get the water and the fruit at the end. We're going to do a special anniversary food item for all participants. So
it's a Publix sub.
You know what? The food item might be what puts
I'll
me
give you
the
a
edge.
Hint. It's definitely sweet.
Like that idea.
Yeah.
Great information. Give us the website one more time.
It's georgiamarathon.com.
Okay.
All right.
I think I can
remember that.
Remember
that. That's really hard.
Maybe I'll add that into my workout routine. You know, every new year I have to start something kind of new.
Right.
I did that We Fit last year. And
for
I'm still
year?
Doing it. Yeah, pretty regularly for the whole
really?
Year. Yeah.
The same program or you bought
no,
different
no, no.
games?
No, lots of different games.
The
and that's
dancing
what,
games? You like this?
I have to admit, I am a little sore behind my arms today from Just Dance 2.
Okay.
You know, when, I can't believe that thing. It's
not
fun.
Easy.
It's not easy. And
are you going to get the Kinect or whatever the Microsoft one is without the remotes? Have you seen that?
No. No.
It's the new Wii.
Is it?
Yeah.
Between that and Rock Band.
That's all you need?
Yeah. No, the Wii Fit, though. But
what instrument on Rock Band do you play?
Vocals or piano. but this year I'm trying a Pure Bar, which, by the way, they're coming on the Atlanta Business
yes,
Radio
I've,
Show.
I've interviewed them multiple times.
On your other shows?
Yeah.
It's a really cool workout, Lee.
Yeah. And you should get the people from the Exhale Spa at the Lowe's. They do. They have their own signature workout also.
Huh. But Pure Bar is interesting. I'm never having done ballet, but teaching Pilates and yoga before, I'm loving it. It's great.
I might have their DVDs here.
Really? In your
like
box?
Like right here. Right by my feet.
I might have to check those out. Great. Well, I think maybe the half marathon may be on my list. I got to give that some thought. One last question for you, Danielle. As far as age, like I have two teenagers, would that be something that...
Yes, definitely. The marathon, you have to be 16 years or older for the marathon, and then the half marathon, the age limit is 13.
Half marathon.
So they could do the half marathon, and then the 5K is open to all ages, and the kids' fun run is 10 and under.
Okay.
Well, that'll put her over the top right there. Get her family involved.
Yeah.
It's game over there.
Yeah, it's definitely a family event.
Cool. Sounds like so much fun.
How many people will do it?
We're expecting 18,000 runners over the weekend between the 2 days of events.
18,000?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, with the half marathons being the bigger race.
Right.
Okay. All right.
You're in.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to take the plunge. That's awesome. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Great information. Two other businesses up this morning. Next up,
let's see them top that.
Let's see them top that. Next up is Todd from CKW & Associates. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what is CKW & Associates? We get a lot of acronyms here.
Yeah, is it a 13 miles or 26?
It's not. It's not that exciting, but I'll tell you, I'm motivated. I think I might sign up for the kids run. Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
Can we move the age limit up just a little bit? CKW & Associates, we're a project consulting company, and what that means is the traditional name was construction manager, although people would get us confused with general contractors. As a project consulting company, what we do is we help companies that are relocating their offices or building new buildings, or owners who already own buildings that have to build out space for their tenants to move into. We oversee the entire process from the initial design all the way through the move-in into the space, and we're basically a resource for companies that don't have somebody in-house that can handle the project.
Do most companies have somebody in-house?
Most people do not, unless they're a very large company. Most people don't have somebody in-house, so we're a great resource to turn to as kind of a fiduciary for them to oversee the project for them and make sure they get the best value and get exactly what they need in the project.
So who typically would hire you?
Well, there's a lot of different companies that would hire us. Sometimes landlords will hire us. We have landlords that own buildings and have multiple tenants in the space. And as they get new tenants in the space or tenants move around, they have us oversee that process for them. We also get hired by end users. Office users who are moving to new buildings will hire us to oversee the project. One of our clients right now is Northwestern Mutual, who's moving their main headquarters in Buckhead. They're moving into a new building, and we're overseeing the whole design and construction process for them, as well as medical office users. We work with a lot of physician groups and a lot of dental groups. They spend a lot of money on their office space, and they need someone to watch over it so they can continue to see their patients.
Is that, do you specialize in medical? Because I would imagine they have kind of unique needs.
We do specialize. About 50% of our work is for medical clients, and they do have very unique needs. All different, the different medical users, different types of practices have different needs, as well as the dental is very specialized.
So you do dental too?
We do dental offices as well.
I went into a dentist. They had like a TV on the ceiling.
Yeah, that's wow. kind of the new thing. So you can lay back and it's flat with the flat screens. They right. they can do that. I knew of a dentist one time who tried to hang one of those big old TVs.
The old school with the big back.
Yeah, and I heard that they walked in one morning and it was dangling from the from the ceiling.
Yeah, so, how would you like to be a patient when that fell down?
Yeah, that wouldn't
you're
be good.
You're scared enough as it is.
So what we no do, doubt. If that was one of our clients, we make sure that whatever they mount to the TV is we'll mounted properly and it's not going to fall down.
That's good.
And it sounds like, especially in the medical field, they want very little downtime. They want to go from one office to the other. How do you do that?
Well, that's setting expectations. There are some times where you have to tell them you're going to have to take a couple of days off to move your practice. They think that it can just happen overnight. They think the whole project just kind of happens overnight. And so,
like you do it on their off when they're closed, you're just coming in there knocking it out.
Get it taken care of. So. It depends. If it's an existing office and they need to renovate it, we may stage it into multiple phases. If they're moving to a brand new location, like we just moved one of our clients, Women's Institute for Health, WIFH, just moved their office. A lot of people have probably heard of them. They just moved their office over to Perimeter Town Center, just down the street from where we're at now. And they took a couple of days, you know, closed the practice for a couple of days and moved and had their whole staff involved and got them moved over, and they're back opened up in their new location now. And it went great. Probably the biggest compliment I've heard from one of my clients was the owner and founder there, Dr. Culkin. I met with him a couple days ago, and he said, boy, this, you know, everybody just really did such a great job, and it really went well. And during the whole project, it was probably one of my most challenging projects I've ever done, just for a multitude of reasons. It was just very, very challenging. And so when he turned around and said, boy, that sure did go smoothly, I thought, well, gee, I guess I did my job then.
You pulled that off, right?
Right. He didn't know.
No doubt. Now, do people typically bid this out? I mean, what's the difference between like a project consultant and a construction manager like you were talking about before?
Well, construction manager typically deals with just the construction piece and bidding out just the construction piece, where as a project consultant, most of our clients actually hire us when they're looking at either a piece of land to build a building, and they maybe got a couple different options, or they've got a space within a building they're looking at and they've got a couple different options. They'll bring us in early to start setting up their budget and their schedule. And so we're involved very early. Sometimes we even get involved with helping them find the financing for the project.
Oh, so you're like the whole, you're a partner in this. You're not just
do
a
it all.
Vendor. Huh?
We're not just a vendor. No, we really, and that's why we call ourselves project consultants, because we're consulting through the entire project. We get brought in a lot of times by commercial real estate brokers. They kind of are on the very front end of the project, and then they bring us in to help move the project along and see it through execution and completion.
But if the end user hires you, can you help them negotiate?
Help them negotiate.
Like rates, if they're going to go into a space, could you have that kind of insight, or you stay away from that part?
I could. I actually am licensed as a real estate agent, but I don't perform those duties anymore. I have the ability to do it. I've done it before. So usually what we do is we work with real estate brokers. We let them handle and negotiate it. And there's a small section within every lease or purchase that we will look at and we will review and we'll comment.
Right.
You know, sometimes the landlords will give an allowance to tenants.
Right. So you can help make sure that the tenant is getting
everything they should out of it. Exactly. And the project, you had asked earlier about competitive bid, and some people will negotiate projects with contractors. And generally what we do is most 95 to 98% of our projects are put out to bid, unless it's a very complicated multi-phase project that you can't put documents together. What we do is we take them through a process that we've got great documents put together with great design firms that then go out to bid to multiple general contractors. And so we're looking for the best value for our clients.
Are any of your clients talking about the going green movement? Is that still a hot item, a buzzword that folks are talking about?
That's a real hot topic. even in the medical, we just finished a project in Woodstock that's going to be a LEED certified. It's going to be the first LEED certified project in the city of Woodstock and the first medical project that's LEED certified in Cherokee County. So that is, and it's about a 5,000 square foot doctor's office. And so that's a little unusual. Most physicians don't want to spend the money. So what we're doing a lot of times is looking at the elements that go into a LEED certified project, which is a process you have to go through, but doing the same things, just not necessarily going for the certification. So they are doing what we'd call going green. They're looking at ways to lower their, you know, utility cost and their maintenance costs.
What are some of the big things that a doctor's office would do to go green? I'm just, the wheels are spinning in my brain now.
Well, there's different types of systems that they can use for lighting to reduce their energy use, for their air conditioning systems, again, reduce their energy use. Also, the type of materials that they can put in, flooring materials that require less maintenance, so less use of chemicals within the space, less off-gassing, low VOC paints. All of these things are now becoming mainstream products, and they can be done for the same or actually less cost than the traditional products when you factor in the maintenance and utility savings.
That's interesting.
Is there a size company that you guys work with?
We work with any size company. The project we're helping Northwestern Mutual with is a 50,000 square foot project. We've done projects over 100,000 square feet, and we've done projects that are as small as 800 square feet. So really any size. Usually the more complicated projects are the ones that need more help. And again, that's why a lot of our clients are medical as well as the larger office users.
And how do folks work you into their budget as far as cash flow and bidding and things like that?
Well, typically we're saving our fee throughout the project, both with hard dollar savings as through the process we take them through, as well as just their own personal time savings or their employee time savings. So really we're just another resource in there that they pay us, but we show a savings in the entire project where we actually come out typically with a net savings for them.
What's kind of the common misconceptions that your client has going in? I mean, other than the time it'll take to complete it?
The time is huge. The other is the cost and how you get through the process. The big misconception is most of them want to jump right in and start seeing construction happening.
Oh, like because they made a decision in their head, so now they're ready for you to start.
They're ready.
We're banging a hammer.
Yeah, when is the contractor going to start? And typically on an interior build-out project, which is a lot of what's happening now, we may spend 2 to 3 months on the design piece and then a month to 2 months on the construction piece. And they just can't. Sometimes they really have a hard time wrapping their head around that you're really, this is really going to get done in time and all of our projects finish on time or ahead of time.
Because it looks like nothing's happening for...
Right. And what happens is once you get into the construction, it happens so fast. Once you get into construction, actually, they're amazed by it. And the reason is because all the decisions were made up front.
Earlier. So now they're just executing the plan.
Executing and moving forward.
Now, has the real estate situation here, does that help your business, hurt your business?
You know, our business really hasn't changed over the last 2 years, which, you know, part of that, I think, is luck, and part of it is the service that we offer. People are looking at ways to be more economical and save money. They don't have the personnel in-house. They want to outsource the service. And a lot of companies are moving around and trying to do things to save money, and real estate is a huge piece of that. So there's a lot of movement of people moving around, although you don't see any new buildings anymore. There's no more cranes left in Atlanta.
That's it. Where are all those cranes now?
They're sitting in yards waiting to go back up.
But there's a lot of space, though. So
there's a lot of space
available.
They'd
still use you for building out that space.
Right. So a lot of our work is interior projects. The other thing that's happened is with our medical clients is the cost has come down on construction. It's down considerably. And now pricing is starting to come down on land. So it's an opportunity for the medical clients that have always wanted to own their own buildings.
Right, now's a good
time.
Right.
Right. And interest rates are down on financing. So it's a win-win for them.
It's a good time.
Good day. You know,
definitely.
Good
for some folks. Yeah,
there's always opportunities.
How can folks reach you if as they're listening, they're thinking, that's the guy I need?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. One, they can go to our website, which is ckwandassociates.com, and the and is spelled out, A-N-D. The other way is they can call us. Our phone number is 404-537-5800. We'd love to hear from them.
And Todd, what did you do before CKW as far as your past that's really
given
you?
I am the C. Yes.
He's the C in the CKW. What has given you the insight and the ability to kind of do what you're doing now, pull it all together?
Well, believe it or not, I actually went to school for this. as unusual that may sound, I have a degree in architectural engineering with an emphasis in construction management. And then after getting out of school, I worked for a large construction management company. I then went to work for a developer and then went to work for a local owner overseeing the brokerage and architect. So I've been involved in the process from the very beginning to the very end, from for end users, developers, contractors. I've worked for a general contractor. So really I was able to very quickly get a lot of different experience. So I've kind of seen it all from start to finish.
That's great. Great expertise. And what an important part to, especially like you were saying, if you're moving or if you're building out, I would think that it would definitely...
Yeah, because you don't know what you don't know. So it's better just to have somebody just take care of that.
Exactly. Someone that knows what they're doing, no doubt.
That's exactly right.
Thanks so much for being with us today. We hope folks will reach out and check out more about CKW.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, Lee, as I'm sitting here, I'm watching this picture frame that's in the studio. You've updated the photos.
I haven't been taking as many pictures.
But I'm looking at this. We've had a lot of guests in the studio, but one photo, it looks like it's John Bon Jovi. When did I miss
him? John Bon Jovi came in.
Black Eyed Peas, John Bon Jovi. Yeah, I mean,
we got it all.
We do. We're definitely getting some guests here on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. And guess what?
What?
We have Jason Morrison in the studio.
It's hard to believe. How long have we been trying to get it? He's, you know, he charged us like $2,500 to come in here.
And I think he even brought his own bodyguard.
I saw him.
I'm thrilled. Jason Morrison, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from Capital Media Solutions.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Jason, tell us about Capital Media Solutions. How did it start?
Capital Media Solutions is a media strategy and buying agency. We're an advertising agency. And we started about 4.5 years ago up in Washington, D.C. We started as an ad sales firm representing associations selling advertising for their print publications, websites, conferences. And through random occurrence, quickly became a media buying company when an individual on a train asked our managing partner if we did media buying. And we said, well, you know, we sell media. Maybe we need to look into strategizing and buying media as well. That was just the start of what's been a great past 3.5 years since that event. And now we strategize and buy for brands across the country. We have two offices. We're in Washington, D.C. and now in Atlanta. And we represent brands that are a wider range of industries, from government like CDC, and we've done buys for Department of Homeland Security, to other more common brand names such as Beazer Homes, KPMG, AAA, Lane Bryant very recently. So it's really something that's evolved as the digital age has come around. So has advertising and media buying, and that's where we've really taken hold of the market over the past few years.
What do you think makes a good media buyer?
You know, that's a great question. It's a great media buyer is based on a few things. Experience, number one. Vision, number two. Just because a media buyer has been great in the past doesn't mean they are great in the future. And, you know, speaking to the digital age, if somebody doesn't have the ability, a media buyer doesn't have the ability to educate themselves and to have a vision for what's coming ahead, it's going to outdate them very quickly, especially in advertising. You have traditional media buying firms, and what I mean by traditional, those firms that focused on print advertising, radio advertising, television advertising, that have not adopted the new wave of digital advertising that is occurring online. And for that reason, they are either going out of business or they're very thin right now with business, because the opportunities are limitless and they're only growing day by day.
Now, I imagine that that's changed a lot in the last, you know, 3 to 5 years, just even defining media buying. Mm. Do you mind just defining it? What does it mean, media buying?
Sure. media buying is very simply just purchasing the proper media to target the proper audience for the right price. So media, in other words, is your platform, your print, your television, your radio. Now it's your social platforms that you have, like Twitter and LinkedIn. But the purchasing is the buying part of the media buying terminology. So media buying is really buying the right media, making sure you're targeting the right individual, the proper audience, and for, you know, a very low negotiated price.
Now, it seems like this is a kind of a transitional time for the big companies, like you mentioned, where back in the day, you know, there were three television stations and they kind of had a monopoly, you know, and then cable came in and now there's hundreds of channels and they had less of a monopoly and viewership is going down, you know, channel by channel as it's getting more and more diluted. And then Google comes in and has a like kind of a pay-per-click thing that changed the whole paradigm of media, because before you were just paying for the impression and now you're paying for kind of an action. How do you guys kind of communicate with your clients to help them through this change?
Yeah, that's a great point. One of the important things that we do from the get-go is what we like to call brandology, which is better understanding your brand. It's a common theme when clients come to us and say, hey, I went to a local luncheon or I heard on CNBC that, you know, we need to be in social media. So I want to be in social media. And we say to them, you know, let's take a step back. Do you understand your audience? Do you understand who that person is down to their behaviors? Not only just, you know, are they male or female, but what's a more defined parameter for who your audience is? So once we better understand who the audience is, we're then able to take all the research and all the software that we have and the experience to select the appropriate campaign and the appropriate platforms for these advertisers to advertise on. So, you know, we always tell clients, just because it's sexy doesn't mean you need to be there. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to, you know, return on investment. And if you spend $1 and you get $10 back, well, that's a great media buy. But, you know, there's a lot that goes ahead of it to just saying, I want to be on radio. I want to be on television. And, you know, you see, it's very common to see business owners, you know, I guess the more narcissistic ones that like to have their face on the television commercial or their voice be heard on the, you know, radio commercial. That doesn't equate necessarily to the bottom line.
And then so you have to kind of move them in your education of what you do to what's your ultimate goal is not, unless maybe their ultimate goal is to be famous. You know, they want some notoriety. But I have a question about, like, how do you determine ROI? Like, if you run a, like Coke runs a billboard that has a bottle on it that says thirsty and, you know, that costs whatever it costs. How do you determine an ROI on something like that? Does that ultimately get me to go to the convenience store and pull out a Coke as opposed to a Pepsi?
Yeah, that's another great question and something that we hear every day. How do we determine ROI? Well, it's different for every form of media. For instance, for digital media, people most commonly track the click-through rate, which is the number of times a user clicks on the ad based on the number of impressions that that ad is being served, excuse me. So, you know, that's an example for online. There are other ways of implementing an 800 number.
But how do you get that click-through to translate to, oh, at some point they actually bought something? It might be like five, they might have seen my logo at a networking meeting. They could have seen it an article I wrote. Mm-hmm. And then finally they see the ad there, and then that ad's getting the credit for the click-through, because that's the action I took. But it might have been the five things I did beforehand that got them to that point to actually hit the click.
One of the things we incorporate on top of just analyzing the data, such as the click-through rate, are focus groups and surveys. Because you brought up a great point. It's, you know, there is a gray space in tracking advertising, in understanding whether or not that billboard that the individual drove by really led them to go to the store. But, you know, as advertising evolves and as metrics evolve, I think we'll see that that ROI is something that will be less gray and more defined. But procedures, you know, are still being developed to better that, because there's not a great system for understanding whether or not the traditional means are really producing, you know, the return you want. However, with print advertising per se, you can do an 800 call number where, you know, on that particular print ad, there's a different call number or a different landing page for the website,
right,
where they will go. But you don't know how many individuals, to your point, saw that ad, maybe didn't click on that particular landing page or called that particular phone number, but then the next one they saw, they did.
Right.
Because there's a reach and frequency that comes to advertising, and oftentimes it takes, you know, more than
right,
than
it's
one
not,
or two times.
It seems to me it's more, it's art and science. It's not if you do X, you're going to get Y every time. Mm-hmm. It's, you might have to do, you know, A, B, C, D through X in order to get Y at
correct
the end.
Correct.
And I also think, just like you mentioned, the different types of touches, because I think there's a misconception now with social media, since so much of it is free, that someone doesn't need to buy media. Mm. But, I mean, it's like you're saying, just the different types of touch, because not everybody's into social media, and then to be able to touch them in different ways. How do you approach a client that may say, hey, social media is the way to go, that's the only thing I'm doing?
You know, there's a fine line between those clients that you will be very instructive with, and those clients that tell you this is what we want. And I think every business owner can relate to that. The clients that tell you what they want, you may implement that to appease them at the time, hoping that you'll build that trust and relationship in a few months to where then they are taking your advice.
Right.
But
you have to give them what they need, not necessarily what they want.
Right. With the understanding, though, that at that point it becomes their advertising campaign and their media plan, not ours.
Right.
So if they want us to just use our leverage in buying media at tremendous discounts because we purchase
a lot
tens
of it,
and
right,
millions of dollars of media, then we'll be an order taker. But if they want us to then develop a strategy,
right,
that's where the guidelines and the parameters are established ahead of time to say, you know, we're the experts, we are going to do it right, and we have the results to prove that.
Maybe give one tip that every business needs to know or needs to think about when they're advertising and promoting their business. What one thing would you say you've got to look at this or consider
use
this?
Capital Media Solutions.
Yeah, yeah. Outside of using Capital Media Solutions.
Outside of that.
You know, I think the one tip that I would give everybody out there is know your target audience. Clearly define who they are. The ability out there with all the data to break down and segment your audience is tremendous. You can break down not only from male, female, but now by behaviors, you can break down by geographic region. So the more you can break down your target audience and the data that is coming through on that target audience, the better ultimately your ad campaign will be, because then we can be very specific with our recommendations and have a lot less wasted space. 10 years ago, many brands, in fact, most brands, would advertise on a radio station that encompassed an audience of 18-year-olds all the way up to 54-year-olds. And let's say you hit 20% of your target audience, well, you were wasting 80% on other individuals. Now, with the ability, with the proper data to actually hone in on your audience, it's very important that businesses do the research and understand who that person is, because then your media will fall into place.
So then are you saying that the who is more important than the quantity? Like, to keep your eye more on the ball of reaching the exact person you want to reach rather than just reaching lots of people?
Correct. And that's through the media's ability to target the advertising. And that's only been recent, mm-hmm, to your point.
Before media buying, it's been kind of let's get as many people as possible. And then now it's kind of becoming more focused?
It depends on the brand again.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Coca-Cola, the example you gave earlier, they might have a more, broadly defined niche of individuals they want to reach. But what we're seeing are that if, for instance, Coke has a more broadly defined niche of individuals they want to reach, they might segment their campaigns so that one message is going to the younger generation, another message is skewing towards the older generation in different formats.
Right.
So it's not we're not in a time where one size fits all anymore.
Right.
It's being very specific and targeted to each individual.
And that's where a firm like yours comes into play, because your awareness of lots of different locations for the person who is after a niche, you can kind of attack that in. We have more resources than kind of an average person.
Correct. Yeah. And we spend a lot of money every year just keeping those resources up to date,
mm-hmm.
and those data points current, so that our strategizers and buyers can give you the best media plan possible.
Maybe we're about ready to wrap up the show. Maybe you can leave our listeners with a success story, maybe how you've helped a specific company. And walk us through that.
Yeah. Last year, we did a media buy for AAA. And AAA, everybody is very familiar with the brand, most commonly when they break down on the side of the road to pull out their AAA card. But it was a regional test campaign where they wanted to, promote the safety of elderlies who are getting behind the wheel, mm-hmm. elderly individuals behind the wheel. And it was a two-pronged approach where, number one, you wanted to have the message go towards that elderly person saying, hey, you need to know when it's time to turn in the keys. And number two, it was aimed towards their sons or daughters who needed to speak to their parents about, you know, mom and dad, I think it might be time to turn in the keys, mm-hmm. because it's not safe. That regional test campaign was so successful that it brought on a much larger national scope, which right now we're in the middle of conversing about getting that national campaign going. But it's common for us to do a very small test, mm-hmm. because you can buy it that way, and then take that to other markets.
Interesting.
And that's a good piece of advice, too, to test before you, go all in on something. Maybe it's worth, just spend a little bit of money and just try it out a little.
Yeah. Right. And it goes back to the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart. A lot of businesses say, we don't have the money to advertise right now. Well, if you advertise, then it gives you the opportunity. And obviously, if you advertise the proper way, it gives you the opportunity to then do so many more things, because you bring in business,
right.
as opposed to waiting for the business and then advertising afterwards.
It's more proactive.
Yeah, great advice.
Yeah.
Jason, so glad we could get you.
Thanks for having me. Maybe not Black Eyed Peas or Bon Jovi,
but still pretty good.
I appreciate it.
What's your website and best way to get a hold
of you? People can go to www.capitalmediasolutions.com. And just a note, Capital is spelled with an O-L in our address. It's commonly misspelled with A-L. I still do it every day, even though I've been with the company for years. But capitalmediasolutions.com, or they can call our 800 number, which is 800-517-0610. And they can talk to any one of the sales directors that would be happy to help them.
Terrific.
Cool.
Thanks for being with us today. Great information, great guests.
Had a little of everything, huh?
Yeah. And if you would like to nominate someone for the Atlanta Business Radio Show, send an email to amy@atlantabusinessradio.com, and we'd love to get them on.
Only good people.
Well, we do get some unusual requests. I will say we have gotten, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, there's no way they're coming on, the Sexy Maid Service. Who cares if your maid is sexy? And there's
look, that was my side business that I guess my PR person will have to work a little harder to get on.
While you're away changing the world, we'll change your sheets. Who cares what they look like? Anyway, but other than that, definitely send us your nominations. I promise not to slam you online.
Okay, so if you have the word sexy in your name, that's probably not going to get you on. That's what we learned.
No, it's not so much that. It's such a bizarre concept. But for the most part, we do like to put spotlights on Atlanta's businesses and what makes you special. Thanks to our listeners, and we look forward to a wonderful 2011 with you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.